Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. In this episode, we are talking to Samuel Green with Reason for Life. So, Samuel, I'm so glad that you're here with us today. We get to spend some time with you and get to learn more about you and what you're doing and Reason for Life, and then get to introduce you to all the people who are listening to us. And so, if you would, Samuel, if you'll start from just sort of the beginning of where your journey began and how you got into doing what you're doing.
So I've been in the pro-life movement basically as long as I can remember. I was about 7 years old when I first learned that abortions were happening, what abortion was, and my child's heart was just broken by that knowledge. And I think the Lord further burdened my heart and placed a calling on my life. And so from about the age of seven on, my goal in life was to help end abortion in America. And so that influenced basically every educational and career decision I made from that point forward. It was with the goal of being used by the Lord to help end abortion. So obviously I've been at it for a while and abortion is still taking place. So there's a lot more work to do, but I've been grateful
for the
opportunity.
I'm curious if I could just break in on that. 7 years old, I mean, we try to protect kids from hearing about abortion at 7 years old. So what, how did that happen that you heard about abortion and understood what it was?
So my recollections from 7 year old life are not as clear as they should be. So thankfully my mom has helped fill in some of the gaps. So apparently it was actually a guest speaker at our church who had brought it up, and I started asking questions to figure out more of what it was that this guest speaker was talking about. And once I knew, I again was just devastated, brokenhearted by it, and wanted to work to end it. And so in my 7 year old mind, the plan was I was going to become president of the United States and end abortion just like that. It was going to be great. And then when I became a little bit older and wiser, the age of nine, it dawned on me, whoa, like not many people become president. I should come up with a backup plan in case that doesn't work out. And so about the age of nine, I decided, well, I'll become an attorney and then I can work to help defend unborn children in the courts. And then who knows, maybe a lot of politicians, they were lawyers first, so it'll be good training ground for being president. So that was what was happening in nine-year-old Samuel's mind. And so I did end up going on and becoming an attorney and doing pro-life litigation. But then I was looking at the state of the culture and how lost it is, and how even within the Christian world, there's a lot of support for abortion, a lot of people who don't think the Bible has anything to say about the subject, a lot of people turning to abortion from within the church. And so I felt like I wanted to address that. And so that's when I launched Reason for Life, which is an educational ministry that seeks to reach everyone, but is largely focused on the Christian world, churches and Christian schools and colleges, and trying to make sure that those platforms of Christian education are including biblical teachings about the value and humanity of unborn children.
I love this. And I'm curious about, you know, we think that the church knows, and we think that the church would be on the right side of this, right? So what kind of support did you have when you first stepped into this? Did you get a lot of pushback from people? Did you get a lot of naysayers?
Well, I decided to launch Reason for Life because I saw the problem within the
Right.
church. And so I knew there was a lot of reticence on the part of pastors to touch the topic of abortion. And I knew that the result of that reticence was many people within the church being confused about the subject. And so I knew trying to get pastors to address the subject was going to be a difficult battle. A number of my friends told me, you know, this is going to be a difficult battle, right? And I was like, yes, I know. That's why I'm entering it, because the need is there. But it ended up being even more difficult than what I was anticipating. The reluctance to address the issue was even stronger than I had anticipated.
Wow.
And so it has been an uphill climb, but I've been enjoying the process and the opportunities that the Lord has opened up.
I'm just curious, coming at it from abortion recovery space, where we are working, I've always wondered how much of that re reluctance of the church is the fact that one out of four of them have abortion in their past, men and women, including pastors and pastors' wives. Do you see that as you approach the church, I don't know that they would be, forthcoming with that, but that perhaps that is part of the issue of them not being willing to speak up on abortion?
Linda, what you identified is kind of one of the two big obstacles that I tend to see
Hmm.
that makes pastors hesitate, is they know that there are a lot of people within the church who have a personal experience with abortion, are in pain, are suffering, and understandably, they're reluctant to address such a painful subject. They're worried about causing more pain, and so they stay away from the issue. And that's one of the things that I try to help pastors reevaluate and understand, to know, yes, there are a lot of people in the church who are hurting because they've turned to abortion, but that's a reason for you to preach about the subject, not to avoid it. You have people who are wounded, and through silence, we let their wounds fester. And instead, we should address the subject head on and remind people that part of the good news of the gospel is that when Jesus died for our sins, he was dying to cover all of our sins, including the past sin of abortion. And what a message of hope and what a blessing that would be to those in the congregation who are suffering to hear from their pastor that their pastor loves them, that Jesus loves them, that there is hope and healing available for them, and that this is not some sort of exclusive sin that is too severe for the Lord to cover, but that he wants to wash away all of our sins and bring healing and use these individuals in mighty ways. And so, you know, that's one thing that I really try to help pastors understand, is there's a way that this subject can be addressed from the pulpit that will bring healing and then also help others not walk down that path that they may not have turned to yet by providing a clear teaching from God's word about what God desires of us when it comes to our treatment of unborn children.
Yeah, I love how you said people with abortion in their past can think that it's too severe of a sin for God to cover, right? But the reality is we have to back up and look at what Scripture says, because Jesus died a brutal and violent, severe death for people who lie and gossip. So, because all sin is the same, and we know that. I mean, I'm speaking to the crowd here, I'm not speaking to anybody new, but I think that it's a good point to bring up, and to talk about or to think about anyway, is that severeness of abortion. I air quote it because I know people can't see us, but I'm air quoting the severeness of abortion because, yeah, it's severe. We're taking the life of our children. But God died the same brutal death for things that we don't consider so severe, like lying or stealing a pin or being dishonest, or you know what I'm saying?
I do. And you know, you correctly pointed out that any sin is going to separate us from Christ,
Yeah.
absent turning to him and seeking repentance and letting his sacrifice, his blood, wash us white as snow. But there is a natural human tendency to try to put sins on a level of severity and think, oh, you know, this sin is more severe, this sin is less severe, and maybe the sin of abortion is somehow one that's just too terrible for the Lord to forgive. And you know, for those who have fallen into that trap of thinking, oh, this sin is just too terrible, there's a passage in Acts chapter 3 that I love, because Peter there is addressing a crowd, and he accuses them of killing Jesus. That's what he tells them. He says, "You killed the Prince of Life." And with that accusation, he then goes on and tells them to repent and be converted, and that he says that your sins may be blotted out. So basically, let your sins may be erased. And then he says, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And so I love that, because he is saying, you killed Jesus. So again, if you want to try to measure sins in levels of severity, I think it's hard to imagine one that's more severe than the sin of killing Jesus. But then he says, even for that sin can be blotted out. And not only can it be erased, but you can then find refreshing in the presence of the Lord. And so to tell the women and the men who have turned to abortion, your sin can be erased and you can find refreshing in the presence of the Lord, is a wonderful truth to be able to convey.
So from the pastor's point of view, is knowing that there are groups like ours that are out there that can offer that healing resource, are they open to that? Does that help free them up to speak?
I think it can be helpful, because pastors tend to be overworked and overwhelmed. And so this may be an issue that they feel, okay, if I preach about this subject and then I have people come into my office, maybe I'm not equipped to handle it in the way I would like. And so knowing that there are ministries that focus essentially exclusively on this and are prepared and have helped many, many people walk through this, I think can be a blessing. And I know at Reason for Life, we're not only trying to equip and encourage pastors to preach about this subject, but I also personally guest preach at churches all over the country. And when I do, I often like to point out at least one post-abortion recovery ministry, so that the individuals who are listening to the message, whether it's for themselves or for a loved one somewhere else, know there is help available. There are people who can walk them through the Word of God and help them truly internalize and accept the forgiveness that God offers, and find peace. Because as you all know, it's one thing to know it intellectually, and it's another thing to really embrace it fully and internalize it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Forgiveness and healing are often two different things.
They are.
Do you find a lot of pastors who are resistant because of pride or territory being territorial?
Well, in terms of the territorial question, you know, I mentioned that the issue of people within the church participating in abortion is one of the things that makes a lot of pastors resistant. I think another thing that makes a lot of pastors resistant is the concern about appearing political. And I think that the political component ties into, am I going to offend people in the congregation who are think I'm taking sides in political debates? Am I going to lose congregants? Am I going to have people complaining? Am I going to lose tithes? And so, you know, to some extent, that may sort of come into the territorial realm of, am I going to lose congregants to another church that's not addressing this subject? Is my boldness going to offend? And so, on that, I mean, we can't deny that abortion is a politically controversial issue, but I try to emphasize to pastors that it's first and foremost a biblical issue. It's an issue that's close to the heart of God, because it involves the children he created in his image, and a shepherd of a flock should be doing all that he can to guide the flock in the ways of the Lord and to carry out the Great Commission, which I think a lot of pastors tend to focus on tell everyone about the Lord and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission goes on to say, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded. And so it's all the things. And so what do the commands, love your neighbor as yourself, mean when it comes to treatment of unborn children? What does the command "do not murder" mean when it comes to the issue of abortion? And so pastors need to look at that and take seriously their responsibility to preach the full counsel of God's word and realize that, hey, if this is a politically divisive issue, that probably means a lot of people are confused about it. And there's a lot of lies that people in my church are hearing about this subject, and they need to hear the truth of God's word. And if they don't, there's going to end up being more people in my church who are suffering from the sin of abortion because they heard the world's lies and they believed them and they were deceived and they were led away to the slaughter. And so a shepherd should, out of love for his congregation, the adults and the unborn children, should be doing all that he can to make sure that there is biblical clarity on the subject.
Right. So, what else do we need to know about reason for life? How is it helping the lay worker like myself and Linda, out in the we're out speaking with the, we're working with the women. How is what you're doing helping us, and how can we make that? Is there something that we can do to connect with you or to I don't know, that can further what you're doing so it helps? Like, how does that all connect together? So I'm trying to ask.
Sure. So, as churches and Christian schools end up having the boldness to speak out about this issue and at least briefly address the forgiveness that is available in Christ and help people realize that abortion is a sin, but that the Lord is there to forgive them for that sin, hopefully that will encourage more people to end up turning to ministries like An Even Place. And if they've had an abortion in their past and realizing this isn't something that I need to hide away in my room and suffer alone, but that there are ministries that are there to help me. And I think also by pastors speaking out on this issue, hopefully there will be less people who end up suffering the shame and grief following an abortion because they receive that warning early enough to not walk down that path. And so, even for people who are maybe in the pregnancy center world and they're talking to women who are considering abortion, many of whom are going to be churchgoers, if they're equipped with not only the scientific truths about the beautiful development of unborn children and the truths about the ugly reality of what abortion entails, if they can also have scriptural passages at the ready to appeal to these women who turn to the Bible for truth and help them consider those passages and the implications of them as they are determining how they are going to treat their child in utero, that can be very valuable as well. So I think that's two ways in the ministry space that this can be helpful, is both in helping people be ready to persuade people to not turn to abortion and also helping people recognize that forgiveness is available in Christ and then know there are ministries that they can turn to look into that in a deeper way.
So you're going directly and you're talking to pastors, right?
I
And you're,
talked, I talked, oh, sorry.
yeah. And then you're speaking at churches.
Yes, so I encourage and try to train pastors. I preach at churches, also speak at church youth groups and adult groups, Christian school chapel services. So, basically any opportunity I have to get in front of an audience and help them see biblical truths about this is one that I want to take. And then I would also want to take the individual churchgoer and encourage them to go to their pastor and respectfully ask their pastor to preach about this issue. So when I
That's a big ask, isn't it? That's very, they're very threatening for people.
Yeah. Do
is.
you offer training for them or word language for them to go to their pastor and say, "Hey, pastor, you need to start talking about abortion." Do you give them a help on how to navigate that?
I try. So, when I encourage people to go to their pastors, again, this is a subject that a lot of pastors want to avoid. And so if I call up a pastor and I'm just, random Samuel Green they've never heard of, and like, "Hey, pastor, I got a great idea. Why don't you speak about this really controversial subject?" That's obviously not how I pitch it, but I think that's how it sounds to a lot of pastors. But I think if there is a member of their congregation that they know and they trust who goes to them respectfully, that can perhaps have a lot more traction than, my random phone call. And again, with pastors being concerned about how the congregation will react, knowing that there are people in the congregation who want to see the pastor address the subject can be helpful. And we actually have a written sample sermon that's free and available to pastors at our website, reasonforlife.org/sermon. So when people go to their pastor and ask them, make this kind of daunting request, we want it to be a little less daunting. And so if they give the pastor this written sample sermon when they make the request, we hope it'll give the pastor a good starting point to see, yes, there is a way that I can preach about this that is loving, that is filled with grace, that reminds people of the forgiveness available in Christ, and that is very biblically sound. And so we hope that that will be helpful to make it easier for people to make the request and make it easier for the pastor to respond positively to the request. And then we do also provide trainings to help people know how to respond to some of the common concerns pastors are going to have, like the fact that people in the church have turned to abortion, that it's a politically controversial issue, and so on.
Talking points, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that just puts idea in my mind. I mean, we give the women and men going through our groups, a list of things at the end, and these are ways that you can, build on the healing that God's given you and spread it to others. Maybe we need to add to that, going to your pastor.
Yep, I
And
was just thinking that.
we think the same thing, Mindy. Yeah. If every person that goes through a group and has received healing would go to their pastor, that would open up hundreds of churches a year. Just in our groups,
Well,
yeah.
it's so simple. I don't even know why I wasn't thinking about it before. I was thinking in terms of, well, here's places that you can share your story. Here's different ways that you can serve. Here's other healing when you feel like, you need more, that kind of thing. And then if we feel like they're a strong leader, we invite them to come on board with us. But I wasn't thinking about the churches, and I should have been, because
They're representing different churches all across the country. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and oddly, I mean, if you think about it, when I first started, Samuel, I was working with my local pregnancy center here, and God called me out to do an Even Place. And twice I said no to him. And then when I finally said yes, the third time, I had been out of the pregnancy center for a couple of years. And so I stepped back in, and I already knew some of the churches and stuff, and I went to a few of the pastors, and they're like circling the wagons. Like I didn't know them personally, but I was familiar with the church. They started circling the wagons around the pregnancy center, well, thinking that I was competition. And well, we or they would say to me, "We don't have abortion in our church because we don't have young people," is what they'd say. Or, "I know all my people in my church, and there's no abortion in my church." I mean, so that was what I would run into. And I was like, I just don't even. Here's what I want to do. I want to reach the women and let the women reach the church. And I said that from the very beginning. I just didn't say that to the women. So
We need to
that's
be
almost like a
saying,
light bulb,
yeah.
duh, go tell the
We both had
women.
the same light bulb,
Yeah,
yeah.
good.
Because God's doing a new thing across our country. I mean, there is healing going on, new Bible studies springing up everywhere.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. And we talk about we're giving people a voice. Well, this is one of the places that voice needs to go is to their local church.
Yeah. And they will have a lot more impact than me, like you said, Samuel.
Yeah, and I love the idea of having those who go through your study encourage their pastors, because I think, I was mentioning someone going to the pastor from within the church, possibly having more traction than me as the random stranger. But I think someone who has turned to abortion in the past and suffered that pain is also really uniquely positioned to try to reach the pastor, to the extent they're willing to share their story with the pastor and tell them all that they've gone through and say, "I don't want anyone else in the church to suffer
Feel
in the way
alone.
that I have."
Yeah, to feel they're isolated, right?
And Pastor, you have an opportunity to counter the lies of the culture. And I wish I had known the truth fully before I walked down the path that I did. And I care for the people that I worship with every week, and I don't want to see anyone else fall into that snare. And so please provide the warning, provide the teaching about the value of children in the womb. And then for others who may be suffering like I have, remind them of the grace and forgiveness that's available in Christ. And then, depending on those who go through the Bible study, whether they're up to sharing their story publicly or not, I think, one thing that can help pastors feel better about addressing the subject is to have someone who's willing to share a testimony, because that provides in a very concrete way ahead of the sermon that forgiveness is available and that this message comes from a place of love, not a place of condemnation. And so I sometimes will tell pastors, hey, if you're concerned about the people in the church who have turned to abortion, and you don't feel like you can address that sufficiently by just talking about forgiveness, contact your local pregnancy center. See if the person who runs the abortion recovery ministry would be willing to come give a 5 or 10 minute testimonial at your church before you deliver the sermon. But for the people who have gone through your study, maybe they'll be willing to offer that to their pastor as well and say, I'd be willing to talk a bit about my testimony before you preach about this subject, and offer that hope of the forgiveness available in Christ in a concrete way to people in the congregation. So I could see that being very powerful. So thanks for
And you
thinking
know,
of
even
that.
I'm thinking they're, I know they're rarer than the other kind that don't talk about abortion, but we do have some churches that are a little bit judgmental about it, you know. And if we're sending these women back in, having them say, Pastor, I just want you to know that I've just gone through this Bible study and what it's done in my life, I can't imagine that not impacting his sermon as well.
So, with on Reason for Life, you said you have training for pastors, and we talked about it. But the pregnancy centers can contact you for this training, right? To talk to
That's
them.
right.
And so
Yes.
then, if we're telling our women about this, since we're serving women all over the nation, if we're telling our women afterwards, hey, if you want to go, if you do want to talk to your pastor and you're not sure how to get that conversation started, you
Giving
can
them some talking
contact
points.
a Reason for Life and get some help
Yeah,
there.
that would be
Absolutely.
fabulous.
Absolutely. And I'm happy to have telephone conversations with people as well, whether it's talking to a pastor about his particular concerns and how to address them, or be happy to talk to people who've gone through your study who are saying, I want to talk to my pastor. How might I get that conversation started? Be happy to brainstorm with those folks on the phone and talk through it. And there's a tremendous need within the church for biblical clarity about the subject. There have been numerous studies showing that, significant portions of churchgoers support abortion, are turning to abortion, and we could save so many lives, so many lives of children by just solving the abortion issue within the church, help so many people within the church avoid this path of sin and suffering by bringing clarity. And ultimately, I think if we simply had the church on board fully with ending abortion, that may be enough to end abortion in America. Obviously, we should be trying to reach everyone with the truth about the humanity and value of unborn children. But if we simply had the church on board, that alone may be sufficient to have the type of public support we need to bring an end to this tragedy.
You know, there's another
Amen.
little different twist to it that I've run across in some churches, and that is that by allowing someone to give their abortion recovery testimony, that it seems like we then are condoning abortion. Have you ever run across that? That we don't want someone to be saying that there's forgiveness because then it sounds like we're condoning it, that others can do it too, and then they're just forgiven.
I don't know that I've ever had that concern articulated to me. Perhaps it's in the back of the minds of some pastors. It is a difficult thing at times, because I was actually recently talking with some people whose adult daughter was considering abortion, and she had grown up in the church, and her parents were strongly encouraging her, urging her to choose life. And one response from their adult daughter was, well, I can just have an abortion and the Lord will forgive me and this will be best for my life. And so I can understand some of the concern about what some churches in other contexts might call a message of cheap grace, if you will. And so, that is something that maybe is going on in the minds of some of the pastors. But the reality is that Jesus did die for our sins, and we can receive forgiveness. David was a murderer, an adulterer. He received forgiveness. The people who killed Jesus were able to receive forgiveness. We can receive forgiveness. So that's a truth that we should be sharing But I think that anyone who has felt the need to go through a post-abortion recovery ministry knows the pain and the hurt.
In the
And
end,
I
it's
think,
saying this hurts. Yes.
yes. And so
Not
I think,
this was an easy thing.
so I'd be surprised if you did have someone who's turned to abortion sharing. I'd be surprised if what people took away from it was, well, it's no big deal because I can receive forgiveness. I think the reality of and the gravity of the situation is still there.
I would say one argument to that, if I ran across a pastor anyway, is, well, do you support Celebrate Recovery and addiction recovery? Is that condoning what they did, or is that helping them rebuild after? And it's the same thing. We're trying to rebuild. Or do you support divorce counseling, afterwards? Like, what do you do with the divorcee who comes in who feels shame? Do you not talk to the her and him because, you don't want to condone their divorce, or do you help them recover and rebuild after? And I think that's the probably the greatest argument that we have, is there's a lot of recovery services, if you will, for all kinds of things that sin caused. So,
Well said.
well, Samuel, I am so glad that you came on and we got to spend some time with you. And how can people get in touch with you best?
Our website is reasonforlife.org, and there's a number of ways to reach out to us through the website. So I hope that people will do so and also take advantage of that free written sample sermon, which you can find on the resources tab, or to just go to reasonforlife.org/sermon.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. It was great chatting with y'all.
All right.